The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
All right, ladies and gentlemen around the Delaware Valley, welcome to the Andrea and Kristen Show. Andrea's in the house, and I know Kristen's in traffic. So the one thing Kristen has to understand is that when you're not here, the show becomes about you. So we're going to have
heard of the greatest roast of all time,
right,
with Tom Brady.
Yeah, that's right.
This is the second greatest roast of all time.
Oh, that's right. There's no question about it. And we take no prisoners here, especially when you're not in the room. So let's start off with Kristen's first point. No, I'm joking. Just kidding. He's calling in right now.
Oh my God. Just kidding.
Andrea, how are you today?
I'm great, Joe. How are you?
Fantastic. We have Ben Baer here, who is a great friend and an outstanding attorney, a great new firm, but a longtime top successful attorney, Andrea Law Partners. How are you, Ben?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for having me, guys. Good to be here.
Just one question, Ben. You have been on the broadcast before. We've done some great radio together. You pull that right about there. But this one, how did you get roped into this one? Because you got some problems coming here, and there must be some kind of pictures out there. What's going on here?
Well, I love how you say, thanks for being back on the show. We've been on radio before. Now move your mic closer.
Well, it's the first time you've been here.
I got to be honest, Joe. Ben approached us about this.
He did.
And you know, it was a bit... It got tired. It was a lot.
$50,000, Ben.
Sending flowers to our office just every other day, and we said, you know what? I can't. It's just getting sad. We have to let him on.
Well, there is some truth to that. I mean, I did say, hey, you know, where's my invite? I'm ready to be on the show. Let me know.
Well, what's interesting, and I'm sure Andrew, you know, said, listen, my best friends call me Cash, 50K, 60K. Or am I being generous? Is that what I'm being? I am being genererous.
You're being generous.
Let me little shout out. We have Alexis Crandall in the house of Monument Pain and Wellness, the new sponsor of the broadcast. How are you, Alexis?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Well, we're outstanding, but you know, you better, you know, put the seatbelt on because this show gets a little wild and crazy. But Kristen's not here yet, so that's when that's when it really goes off the rails. Ben, it's awesome to have you on the show. If you would remind our listeners a little bit about yourself and your kind of pathway.
Okay, yeah, no. And again, thank you guys so much for having me. I appreciate the invite. Glad to be here. Happy to be here. So I am Ben Baer. I am one of the founding partners of a new law firm, Injury Law Partners. I founded the firm with my partner from my prior law firm, David Langsam. So he and I started our new firm together January 1st of this year, 2024. So we've been around for, 5 months and change thereabouts. Prior to that, I was a partner at another law firm, one of the top law firms in Pennsylvania, second largest PI firm in Pennsylvania. And I had about 13 years experience. I was a partner there. And again, Dave Langsam, who I'm with now, was also a partner with me. And I'm a couple years older than him, but he had a few years seniority with the old firm. So between Dave and I together, he was there 15 years, I was there 13 years. We were, you know, had almost 30 years collective experience. We worked together on the same team for over a decade and started having those conversations about, you know, if I could do things my way, if I wanted to do it this way. And it sort of developed, and we ended up making that decision to leave together and start our new firm.
The vast experience that you and David have to the forefront, which is so important. I was saying, Andrew, that the domain itself is incredible. Injury Law Partners. I absolutely love that.
I love it too.
Hold on, ladies and gentlemen. Stop the train. We have Kristen Buttle in the house.
Now, Kristen, hi, everybody.
So Kristen's been here Okay, she did nothing all weekend but lay around, okay? Not just watch the basketball games and all that. Don't give me this crap about moving or anything. Like that never happened, okay? But you've been here since 7 o'clock. Likes to make a grand entrance there, Ben.
She must have gotten lost. She doesn't know the new route.
I couldn't find my clothes. Yeah. My family was kind enough to help me move, but there was a lot of logistical issues this morning.
They're optional.
So even though I'm closer to the studio, it was an issue. Well, hi, everybody.
I thought you knew I was the guest and you were going to blow me off. I thought that's what was going
on. Never. Not for you.
Well, you charged them enough to come on the show. Was it 30, 40, 50K? Best friends or cash? I told them
he broke us down and finally got the invite.
Let me just say this, Kristen.
By the way, he put on a really good performance to get the invite, but go ahead, Joe. We'll talk about that soon.
So Alexis Crandall's in the house from Weinemann Paint and Wellness. Just so you know, they're our new sponsor.
Love it.
So, we got a lot of, we're outnumbered here, Ben. So we're going to stay.
You certainly are.
And believe me, normally I'm nervous, but I'm even more nervous now because we got a great show and Kristen's finally here and you never know where we're going. but anyway, we're talking to Ben a little bit about the new firm, but coming from a firm, like you said, a large firm, lots of experience, a lot of catastrophic. Talk about the new firm in regards to what you specialize in.
So I'm handling many of the types of cases that I handled previously. So I would say, in terms of what we specialize in, it's all. Let me start broad and get a little nailed down a little bit. So we only represent plaintiffs, as the name suggests, injury law partners. We represent people that have been either been horribly hurt or killed, catastrophic injury. We do a lot of workplace injury. We do a lot of workers who are on job sites who get hurt. We do product liability. We're getting into medical malpractice. That's an area that I'm excited to be expanding into. But the primary focus has been the high-end product level as well as workplace injury. That's sort of where we had great success in the past. And so you know what you don't, and we're focused on the areas that we excel in.
And so when you talk about that, client expectations, okay. One of the reasons, obviously, we educate our listeners is there's a lot of things, especially when if something happens to them, they need their legal representation, which often they don't actually find until after they've been beat up a lot, okay? Even in catastrophic situations, sometimes, first thing people are thinking is, obviously medical, but they soon find out, often that not on the same page with, insurance companies who are constantly trying to beat them up. But let's talk about expectations from a law firm. We're going to bring the ladies in also. What should people expect when you're talking about an injury law firm? You get injured, it's a negligence of somebody else. What should people look for?
Well, I mean,
Ben, but I'm waiting for Matt to drop "Hey Ladies" by the Beastie Boys after you say we'll bring the ladies in. I was like, this would be a good drop,
that
right?
Been a great drop. Yeah.
He missed it.
I miss my calling. I miss my calling.
You're radio, right?
I did start out in marketing. I was at Greater Media Marketing in this very building with this very company for a couple of years. And I somehow decided that I was going to take the LSAT and go to law school. And it is not as fun. The fun that is had in this building, people have no idea.
Well, the radio industry went right down the tubes when you left because of that.
Exactly. So. Exactly. But I think that I was more on the marketing side and not the on-air side. And really, they missed their chance.
They did miss it.
So in any event, can you repeat the question?
Yeah. What should somebody look for and expect when they're seeking an injury firm?
Sure. Well, first of all, especially when you have a catastrophic injury, like Ben was saying, I think it's important to know that there's nothing wrong with your corner law firm, the guy that did your divorce or that did a lease for you and also handled a car accident for your parents 20 years ago. There's nothing wrong with those law firms. Those are great. They're fine for everyday stuff. But if it's something like a catastrophic injury, that these cases require money, the more we have to pay experts, we'll send out accident reconstructionists, we'll send out engineers to look at, you know, tractor trailers. There's forensic downloads and drone footage that can be gotten in these bigger type cases that a smaller type firm that doesn't do this every day, they're not going to put on the case in the same way that we will. So I think that firms like Ben and Stampone, O'Brien, Dilsheimer, Holloway, further referred to as Stampone Law for the rest of the show because it's way too long.
Right.
That we kind of approach every case in the manner where we put the funding, we get the proper experts, we get every potential dollar on the table. We know how to advise these people when they're out of work. We know how to help them in a more advanced way. So yeah. I think that trying to get someone that is familiar with that type of area, and then, you know, within us, maybe there's a person at a firm that specializes more in products liability or something like that, but just getting to a firm like us that handles those kind of cases regularly.
I think when you have somebody like Ben who comes from a firm that, it literally specializes in catastrophic injury, especially construction cases, et cetera, you're getting the knowledge base and that experience, and automatically they know exactly what to do, when to do it. That's why it's so important to call somebody like Ben or us immediately.
Well, it's interesting because what you just said, Andrea, it's the resources. Okay, like you mentioned, it's not a... look, as firms, your networks are huge. So you have some of them, you know, those local, you know, corner law firms that are really good. Somebody came to you and said, listen, you need an estate attorney? No problem. We have a network of them. However, one of the things that a listener out there who's listening to the show has no idea of is making sure you go to a firm and attorney that has the resources to be able to go to distance against when you're going to battle with the insurance company. Why would I, okay, regular guy driving, you know, construction worker, a professional of another type, know that one of the things I need to ask is, do you have the resources for the experts needed in case of a situation where you need to bring those insurance companies have unlimited coffers, so they're going to bring in, you know, the top people. If you need them, you
not
need
as good
them.
As ours.
What's
just
that?
Saying.
Yeah,
certainly those corner law firms that do some light personal injury work can get you a recovery, but they're not getting you the best
recovery. Of course.
And don't you think it's a combination of resources and experience?
100%.
Absolutely.
Right? Because, I mean, you absolutely have to have the money in order to fund these cases. Because, you know, we're going to, as a person who owns his own law firm, if I'm taking on a case, I'm going to invest my own money in your case, and you have to be willing to totally buy in and be completely on board with that case and form that relationship with that client so that you're willing to go the distance, because you need to be able to spend whatever it's going to take to ensure success.
So,
you know what, this sounds like a good time to talk about Joe's favorite.
We are going there. You can bet on that.
But I've listened to the show. You guys have never talked about contingency
plans. Hold on.
Poor Ben is a listener.
I'm the only one at this damn table that knows about what the contingency. You know what? You guys.
They still call us every time and say, how much do you cost?
Exactly.
Well, it's a big. So, and look, we have all those conversations, and I have had people. I know this is. You guys do this every time you have the show, right? That they say, well, I don't know if I can afford a lawyer.
Yes.
And the whole point is, you don't pay us unless we win the case for you. If we take your case, and I say we, all of us here at this table, mm-hmm. if we take on a case for you, we'll sign up a contingency fee agreement. That's a CFA That means that if we win at the end of the case, there is a percentage, and that's how we get paid. And that's because our clients can't afford to get a $150 bill or a $500 bill for a letter or a phone call. So, and that's, I think, really important because it enables and empowers those people that are injured to go out and hire the very best attorneys for their case.
Right.
And so, go ahead.
It's and what you're saying, like, I think the listeners really need to understand what we mean by that because anybody, I have a client that's homeless right now.
Wow.
I have a client that does not have an address. He is homeless and he has access to us. He has access to the best, you know, the best of the best. And he could call Ben and have access to the best of the best. It's not like a situation where, you know, it's a criminal case and you don't have the money to hire, you know, Bill Cosby's lawyers. Right. You know what I'm saying? Something like that.
Well, if you would have,
Kristen
Fedden
particular...
would have whipped your butt.
Exactly.
But go ahead.
Right? Shout out to Kristen.
That's right.
Love Kristen.
Congratulations, Kristen, on your new award.
That's Attorney of the Year. Right?
Yes.
Lawyer of the Year.
Oh, my gosh.
My old partner. She's wonderful.
She deserves it.
But to go back to the expenses that you're saying, you're funding your own money. That's money that if we lose our cases, that client never owes us that money back.
Right. Absolutely.
And to go back to the point of funding the cases with the right experts, and that's our money. We're investing in every single case.
But, you know, it's interesting. So Kristen, you just said let's kind of break it down a little, and I think we should. Why is that so important? Well, I've learned from being on the shows, you know, with you fantastic people, that the insurance companies, and this, in a sense, it also goes to the medical on the cases, but the insurance companies are bringing on at their experts that are, you know, they got, you know, pretty impressive degrees also. You can't just have, you know, anybody coming up, but you need top experts and you need to be willing to pay for them. Talk about that scenario, why, and you know, and obviously that the injury victim is hurt, so they're not paying for that out of their pocket. So it comes up to the attorney and the firm. And if you don't know, if you're the client, you don't know that's a big deal. You could have a firm with lack of funds and lack of resources who just can't afford to go get somebody who's more credible or as credible as the insurance company's expert.
I mean, yes, that I agree with all of that. And I mean, we can give all of us.
You're going to be a great guest on this firm, on this show.
Yes. I'll stop talking.
One word answer. You know, let the women talk.
Right, yeah. Ladies, please.
Welcome anytime.
No, but you know, as you were talking, Joe, I was thinking of some of the cases I've handled against the car manufacturers because we have people that are horrifically injured in fuel-fed fires after an automobile crash, and so we sue a major auto manufacturer, whether it's domestic or foreign, whether you're suing Mercedes or Ford, who I've litigated cases against both. It can be very expensive. The list of just so in every case you break down your experts in sort of two columns, your damages, that is the medical experts, the whether you can go back to work experts, the how much of the future wage loss you're going to be missing out of, future medical care. So you have all of those phenomenal experts because you have to have the best to have credibility with a jury. Notwithstanding the fact a lot of cases will resolve, we all prepare our cases for trial, as I know you guys did because I read about your recent verdict. Congratulations on
thank you. $55 million, the highest verdict in Essex County history. It's Kristen Buttle.
Yeah, highest. It's
Kevin O'Brien.
It's a top verdict in Jersey, right? In the last couple of years.
Oh, Essex County forever, but I don't know about the New Jersey stat.
Not ever, but for a long time.
For a while, I believe so, yeah.
So what does that translate? Guess who's buying lunch?
I'd be interested to hear more about that. But in hiring these experts, accident reconstruction, defect design, I mean, in a case we tried year before last, we had one of the engineers that designed the Ford GT to talk about fuel integration systems.
Wow. That's cool.
And they're charismatic. You know, he was a protege of Carroll Shelby from Ford versus Ferrari. So you get these people that the juries want to hear more about, and they're excellent. And, you know, but you need to be win or lose. And we don't. I'll talk about myself. I don't win every single case.
We win a lot more than we lose,
and we do everything we can for clients. But win or lose, we're willing to put our money out and invest into a case to ensure we get the very best shot at justice for our clients.
And so
I actually I love that you said that about that particular expert. That's awesome. The juries, I don't know who you're talking about, but we know Carol Shelby. Yes, I've seen the movie.
Well, that's all that's right.
The movie. Yeah. Well, now we're going to hire them because anything to keep the jury awake is
yes,
amazing.
I find it like, you know, a lot of people don't understand, you know, skilled trial attorneys like Ben need to know, you know, how to speak to a jury, but not just what to say it, how to present the information is so important to make sure that the jury is engaged, interested, understanding what's going on, but also knowing when to, all right, that's it. Get the next one on the stand, you know?
Well, don't you think lawyers need to talk like people?
Yes.
So when I was at the Philly DA's office, that's where I started practicing. I was there for 5 years. And you sort of talk like a robot. You know, you say you exit the vehicle and, you know, egress down the highway. It's like, no, you get out of the car and walk down the street, right?
Right.
If you say something, this is one of the things that we try to, you know, hone in on. If you say something that one of your friends that you were having dinner with or having a drink with at a bar would say, like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. Why are you talking that way? Don't do it in front of the jury. Talk right. Like a person.
It's interesting to say that because I often want, you know, how can I've been doing these shows, as you well know, for like 8 years, right? I certainly can't speak legal language, but the benefit I have is I'm just a listener. If you're going over my head, I'm going to say, listen, by the way, that's kind of back in that. I've often wondered what happens when it's a real complex case, okay? And there's 11 of me in that. First of all, you better be bringing it down a little bit.
Well, it's kind of fun, though, because when you don't understand the subject matter, like I'm not a biochemistry, you know, expert. And when I have the expert there, I'm asking him questions probably that the jury has. Like, yo,
kind of the same thing.
Can
right?
you kindergarten yeah. level that for me, Doc? Because right. I got nothing. Yeah. And then I'll say that on this, and the jury's like, yeah, thanks, lady. Like, perfect, because we had no idea
Well,
I think one of the, and I've said this many times, one of the most effective ways to advocate, to be the very best lawyer, is if you have the skill set that lets you take super complex concepts and explain it simply.
Yeah.
Because if, you know, and I'm the same way, you know, if I don't get it, I have said in open court, you know, exposing myself to ridicule by judges, judge, I don't know the word that guy just used. I don't know what he's talking about. I don't get it.
But if you don't know, they don't know.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, when you say something like that, more often than not, the opposing counsel sort of just hems and haws and was just sort of making stuff up anyway, and the argument sort of falls apart.
Yeah.
So I'm a big believer. I'm calling people out and being like, what are you talking about? That doesn't even make sense. I don't get it. Because, you know, you have an obligation to your client to call BS on some of this stuff.
Well, I imagine also it's the same way when obviously you have, you know, the firm and clients, regular people didn't go to law school.
Right.
You need to have that talent, okay, when they walk in your office.
Yeah, to communicate.
Be able to, you know, sit there and not to, you know, lay out some statute in front of, you know, I mean, you know, it's certainly, you know, that communication and just knowing it's important is, you know.
Well, in you know, I think you were talking a little while ago about, you know, when that person initially goes through this trauma and then they have to go retain a lawyer, you know, what is something they're looking at? And we talked about the whole dollars and cents aspect, that they don't pay us unless we're successful in the case, so that the financial should not prevent anyone from seeking counsel. However, you know, and Andrew, maybe you said it, relatability, right? Like if you...
No, she didn't say that. I can't relate to anything.
I think you did. No,
she might have. She did.
But well,
she's a Giants fan. We can't relate to her.
Just kidding.
Did you know that?
We have to slip that in every show, Ben.
I did know that.
And you came anyway, so we're good.
I didn't know that.
I was hoping no one would bring up the Pittsburgh Steelers because I'm originally from Pittsburgh.
Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've been in Philadelphia for a long time. I live in South Philly.
The reason we don't like Pittsburgh or New York teams is, first of all, Pittsburgh has no tradition in football.
Yeah, right.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Zero. Although now I can finally say, between us, we have 9 Super Bowls. You know what I'm talking about? I think they have, I don't know how many the Steelers have. But
6.
6. So between us, we have 7.
There you go.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's a lot for the state of Pennsylvania.
Believe me.
That's one way to look at it.
It is. And whenever we have a Yankees fan, I say the same thing. I'm like, you know what? You guys have zero tradition. I can get you a red hat with a pig on. You know what, Matt? Can I borrow that Eagles hat, please?
Yeah.
his head's getting, you know, he needs some, you know, decoration there. Because,
yeah, well, oh, me? No, I can't. My father will not be calling, and he'll be driving. Actually, not really, because my dad didn't really care about basketball. So when I moved to go to Temple in 1999, the Sixers were on fire, and Allen Iverson hung out outside of my dorm. So it was hard not to just be a Sixers fan.
We can go a lot of directions there.
I don't know. I speak the truth, man.
You know what? I'm going to jump on that for a second. I was in the nightclub business, and he hung out at my club every night.
Of course he did.
He was there one night because we were after hours. Before I was, and they played in Detroit that night. So, but anyway, that's just,
we talking about practice?
Yeah, we're talking about practice. I love that commercial.
So back to the whole law stuff, right? I'll just make the point because I was trying to say this earlier is, you know, when you're looking, if you're a person that's gone through something and you're looking to hire a lawyer, you know, these cases are not going to resolve quickly. It's going to be a long and it's going to be a very difficult road. And you need to hire the right lawyer. And I think that, you know, when you sit down and you talk to someone and you got to do your homework, you know, you should check out the websites. You should look at the results and see what kind of cases they've handled, what kind of results they've had in the past. But at the end of the day, you got to connect. You got to trust that person. You got to relate to that person. You got to say, yes, this is the individual that I want representing me for the next several years. And one of the most important things in my life, because, you know, it's the only case that person's ever going to have.
Yeah, hopefully.
We all have lots of, hopefully, right? I mean, we've had those too. But, you know, you assume that this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to try to right a wrong for that individual. They need to choose correctly.
No question about it. Let's do this. Where's our guy? We're going to take a quick break. We are going to have more from the Andrea and Kristen show. Yeah, no, you heard it right. Andrea and Kristen.
I did.
We
switched it up. Today.
You were late today. And our guest, Ben Bear, and we're sponsored by Weinemann Pain and Wellness. Shout out to Alexis Crandall in the house and, of course, Matt Menarik in the producer's room in just a minute.
Serving my country required sacrifice. Sacrifice that changed my life forever. I remember the day I came home. Because of my injuries, this house wasn't right for me anymore. I remember the narrow doorways, the small bathrooms, the shelves out of reach when in my wheelchair. Every day was full of obstacles. I felt trapped. I remember a better day, the day my family received a specially adapted custom home from Homes for Our Troops. That day changed everything. Now we have a safe and accessible home to enjoy the freedom I fought for. This place, our home, is exactly what we needed to rebuild our lives.
Homes for Our Troops builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post-9/11 veterans and enables them to rebuild their lives. Join our mission at hfotusa.org.
Right now, someone in the world is trying to figure out what their significant other wants for dinner.
What do you want?
It's not that simple.
What do you want?
It's a devastating process that can make you feel anxious, confused, even angry.
What do you want?
There are millions of people feeling the same dread at dinner time every day. You are not alone. And thankfully, there is support. The National Association for Unimportant Relationship Decisions has free virtual meetings, online support sessions, and a restaurant randomizer, all on an easy-to-use app. You can also access online forums to receive assistance from other people struggling just like you. The NAURD app was developed in partnership with world-renowned psychologists, marriage therapists, and restaurant owners, all of which have provided a wealth of information for your access. Download the free app today for Apple or Android, or visit naurd.org for more information. Don't choose dinner on your own. The NAURD is there for you.
Thanks to the NAURD, now she knows what she wants.
The NAURD is not a real organization, and none of the proceeding is true.
ADHD. It's the child who can't pay attention or sit still in school, right? The answer, maybe yes. Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, or ADHD, can be complicated and it can last a lifetime. Living with a condition can sometimes be a challenge. It may take years to accept a formal diagnosis, and it's not always easy to find the right treatment plan. Did you know that up to 75% of children and adolescents with ADHD have at least one additional mental health condition that also requires a comprehensive approach to treatment? ADHD guidelines were recently updated to reflect the need to screen for associated disorders. Be sure to talk with your child's doctor about proper screening and visit moretoadhd.com for additional information. That's moretoadhd.com. This message has been brought to you in partnership with ADA, ACO, and CHAD.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Andrea and Kristen Show, sponsored by Weinemann Pain and Wellness. We have Ben Baer in the house.
Thank you very much.
Shout out to David Langsam, your partner.
Yes. He's our rock star guest.
I need to give a shout out. Can I give a shout out?
Yes.
A shout out to Ariel and Ruby, my 9-year-old and 6-year-old.
I promised
Ariel I would talk about her on the radio, so she'll be excited when
awesome.
She's
named.
That's fantastic.
And she's named after my favorite Disney princess.
There you go. That's right.
Me too.
She's a princess.
Mermaid.
Well, she'll be getting a podcast, and so she can listen, she can go back and forth.
We should bring her in. We've been talking about that. Let's bring the kids in. I love it.
I just had the Justin Cohen's.
Yes.
He brought his niece in.
Oh,
and
I love that.
It's funny because I have done that the first show we'd ever done it on. The attorney had his son. They're just observing, and then we just engaged. What was so cool about it was that, and his son was, I think, like 18, 19, but, we talked about what his father did and what he does on behalf of individuals who can't represent themselves. It went so well that I was talking to Justin Cohen, and we did it just about a month ago where he brought his niece in. So by the way, that's the next show.
Next show, Ben.
No, I'm not putting my 9-year-old on the air. I would be terrified.
Why will she take your thunder?
Yes. And I would be terrified to know what comes out of her mouth.
When she's double digits, 10, she's in the house.
All right.
Do you have a dog? Let's just bring the dog.
I actually have 3 kids and a dog.
Oh.
So I didn't give a shout out to the little guy because he's only 3, so he doesn't care.
We will in 20 years on this podcast.
Yeah, right? But,
let's do this. We talk, since we're on that topic of family. We talk about influences and individuals who, giants in the legal community. We had done a show on our labor show, a dedication to Ben's father, a Supreme Court Justice, Chief Justice Max Baer, who passed, and what a giant in the legal community. Ben and I had done a show previously, and one of the an influence in your life, to say the least. Your father. Talk about him and his influence on you, if you would.
Oh man, I don't know how much time you have. So those who don't know, my dad Max Baer was, as you said, he was the Chief Justice of Pennsylvania. It's hard for me to really articulate this because he is an influence in me in every single way in everything I do. And it's rare that you have a person who had just such unbelievable achievement in the law and was a mentor in all things law, legal based. I mean, from the time I was considering what law school to attend throughout every aspect of my career. And then, you have that aspect of it, but put it to the side for a second. That's just my dad, right?
Yeah.
And I mean,
that's so cool that he's just your dad.
Yeah. And was the most amazing father to myself and to my brother. My brother's a lieutenant colonel in the United States Air Force.
Wow.
To which my dad, you think about that for a second. And my brother made some remarks about this, I guess, when we had a chance to speak in front of the Supreme Court and some other people in a memorial service for my father. But my dad didn't know anything about the military. That was completely foreign. But my brother, from a young age, wanted to be a pilot, wanted to fly in the Air Force. And so my dad did everything he could to make sure he was fulfilling that responsibility of a father to help my brother succeed, and absolutely, helped him, was there for them, and is one of the reasons I think my brother would say, if he was here, that my brother is successful. And I'll say, without my father being the influence in my life, I owe it all to him, everything.
Well, thank you, brother, for his service.
Of course,
one.
Yes.
And what's amazing about that, First of all, when I'll never forget the show we did. I think I sent you the podcast.
You did.
And you know, Kevin Dougherty is on. You know, the words that were said about your dad, just you know, literally speaking, and the influence he had on so many people. But it's interesting. Go ahead.
Well, and say, so, and Justice Dougherty is the man.
Yeah.
You know, love Justice Dougherty, and he provided a eulogy for my father. He's the best. As the, you know, my dad, when he was on the Supreme Court for as long as he was elected in 04, and he passed away October 1st, 2022. So he was on the court for a little while there. And, you know, he really, I think, had this exceptional relationship with all of the other justices and loved doing the job with them. So, you know, it's one of those things as a you know, law student, young lawyer, being able to get to know the personalities of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court on a personal level. And they're all just exceptional people. Should mention briefly that a phenomenal justice, David Wecht, who's a inspiration and a wonderful man, just lost his father. Our condolences to him on the loss of another giant, Cyril Wecht out of Western PA. Oh. But, you know, all of those, you know, that type of relationship is something that I think you can take for granted because, again, it's that familiar relationship and it's my father's coworkers, but it's also the people that are running the Pennsylvania State Judiciary, which is an interesting.
It is.
Yeah, and like now you are actually using case law created by these people that you know on a personal level. It's amazing.
There is nothing more satisfying than citing an opinion my father wrote to win an argument. And there's nothing more obnoxious than when I lose because my dad wrote the opinion that the defense rely on. And it happens. and then the judge always, trial bench always looks down. And, you know, I've had these conversations with some of the great judges, like Mr. Barracom, and I go, well, he got that one wrong. I can say that.
You know, it's interesting because.
If you can't win the argument, you just use your charm. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. Don't worry about that one.
Ironically, obviously, I know Kevin Dougherty and have known him for years. And I remember was at a, my dad was a huge supporter, was a labor leader. And Kevin came up to me and he said, I just want you to know that I'm where I'm at largely because of your dad. We were at a front. Now, of course, that was my dad was not only a big supporter, but he had a lot of support. But also, I played football with Danny McCaffrey. A lot of, and I'm great, great friends with Ben Bear of Injury Law Partners.
Well, the other ones aren't bad. I don't know about that last one.
My credibility right down the tubes. But, you know, it is amazing. What you know, you talk about yourself and your brother and the dedication that your father had for us. It's not always, usually, a lot of times, you know, greatness doesn't always come easy. You know, you can sit there it can be tough. It's not always that way when somebody is so career driven that they spend as much time with their family as they do their career. And that is such that probably says. And I think we talked about this on our labor show. Family was, the things that I did not know your father. I've heard about him obviously for years, but knowing that about him, it just even takes it up to a higher level where he put family first. And was the Chief Justice of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court.
And worked incredibly hard, right? Because, you know, one of his catchphrases was, champions are made when no one is watching.
Oh, yeah.
And that's something he taught me and my brother. Like, you know, with your verdict, right, you don't win that case. And the movies are different. You know, you have a great cross-examination or something like that in Hollywood. In real life, cases are won. Months, years before you ever walk into a courtroom. Yes. They're won in late nights where you're preparing for deposition of a critical witness and nobody gets to see those moments. But you have enough of them that you build success. So I digress slightly, but you know, my father was an incredibly hard worker because he believed that was one of the things he could control, how hard he worked, how hard he prepared. And between us, I take a guy that's, preparing hard and working hard over some of the pure intellect any day of the week.
No question. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you know, what he was able to do was prove you can be incredibly successful in the law and still be a wonderful family man and a wonderful father, grandfather, uncle, great uncle. And was loved by everybody in my massive family out in Western PA. And, you know, that's something that is incredibly important to me. And I think you're referencing it because I believe we did talk about it in the past. And look, part of starting my own law firm, one of the beautiful things about it is that we get to now, when I say we, my partner David and I can control the culture of the law firm. Yeah. And, you know, I say this and I give you the preface because we will outwork anybody in preparing our cases, but we will still be present and good fathers for our children. David has three young kids. I have three young kids. And having that culture where, you know, you can prioritize not just legal results, but also being a good person for your
balance.
Family.
Mm-hmm.
Is yeah, what that's yeah. huge. I mean, it's so hard to have a work life balance in this field particularly.
There was an article in the Legal Today about how it doesn't exist.
It's like impossible.
Right.
It's so hard.
Well, the balance, you know, you talk about, well, that you
not
talk
impossible,
about,
but you know,
I know what you
virtually
mean, yeah.
But success, then you can lay out what success is. Okay.
Right.
And that's true success. When you lay out balance and being able to balance. My dad used to have a saying when, you know, cause he coached us in sports and on, and but it applied to life, and that is this: you don't worry about the game on game day.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Okay,
exactly.
In other words,
late.
You know, everybody's nervous and you got butterflies when you're, you know, going into that courtroom and all, right? But you're prepared, and you know, and so, you know, that is along those lines. Like you know, typically speaking, everybody's going to be nervous, but you're not nervous because you're not prepared.
I'm not nervous when I'm prepared. You know, you can have that. There was a guy at the DA's office, an old homicide DA, that said he was like, you know, the racehorse who was like getting ready to get into the stall. He was twitchy because he was anxious.
Yeah.
But, you know, as soon as the gates open, he's off and running. As soon as he gets up and gives his opening. But if you're really prepared, again, there's nervous energy because it means a lot.
The stakes are so high. You have to be worried.
And it's a tremendous amount of pressure. But, you know, it's for me. That moment when you stand up and actually start opening, everything else just fades away.
Yeah.
And it's just
now you're in it.
Exactly.
That's
a wonderful moment. Well, I hate the lead up, but as soon as you go,
100%.
But it's public, you know, it's public speaking and perform. We do some shows about sports and the law. Okay. And you're where some of those intangibles, I talk about the contingency fee agreement all the time. I also talk about, I always do, right? I love it.
Love it when Joe calls us heroes for that.
Right.
Well, it's my favorite thing.
I do. It's funny. I did a show for a guy who was running for judge.
Okay.
He was running for, he wanted to be a family court judge. And some people said to him, it was a really amazing story. Some people said to him, oh, geez, why would you run for that, right? You know, and he had a personal reason for it. But he said to me, I couldn't air the show. It was a week before his election. And so an iron worker friend of mine said, would you do a show with him? And I said, tell you what I'll do. We'll do it, and then I'll put it online. We'll promote the show that way. And he said to me, he said, oh, I'm not sure if I'm proud of what I do. I'm like, you offered a contingency fee agreement, right? I said, but people could never afford what you're doing, right? And he said, yeah. I said, well, then I think you're a hero, because if it wasn't for you, no one could afford it.
Right.
You'd literally speaking, we talk about these, you know, fighting, you know, the David versus the Goliath thing. And recently, I came up with somewhat of an analogy in the fact that what I also love about the trial lawyers is you're fighting for people in Harrisburg right now as we're speaking on legislation so that if they get hurt, there's a law there to protect them. Because insurance companies are fighting to make sure that you're required, if you're a business, to have insurance, or if you're in, to make sure you have, if you're driving a car, that you're required to have it. But if you go to use it, now we got a problem, okay? So my point is, there are so many areas. So the guy sat up when I was saying that to him. He sat up a little taller in his chair, right? He's like, "Yeah, I feel pretty good." He didn't win his election. It was a week, but I'll tell you what, he had a damn good reason for running, and so. But that was just an example, and that's why I feel strong about the contingency. What the heck was I saying?
I was leading up to something else. Harrisburg a little bit, and
yeah.
In addition to fighting for our cases that are our victims. Ben, Kristen, and I all work for, the victim that isn't a victim yet. We work with PAJ, the trial lawyers of the state that lobby in Harrisburg to do things like increase the minimum limits on auto insurance, which is $15,000 and hasn't been increased since 1972.
What these shows are, as well as bringing great attorneys on to expand somebody's network, I love to advocate on educating the listener about this type of information, but also the auto insurance. I like the Sixers. I'm a big Phillies and Eagles guy, like you and your family up from Western Pennsylvania there, Ben. One of the things, I joke around with my wife all the time, and I'll say, Tyrese Maxey comes on the broadcast, and he's like, what's more important than winning the championship? Of course, getting, Cure Auto or whatever. My point is, I turn to my wife immediately, and I go, you know what? Call Tim Wade on the phone. He's my insurance broker. I'm going with Tyrese. My point is, they don't educate you on the idiosyncrasies of
they don't want you to know. Don't want you to know. The lobbyists.
So we educate them here.
But it's not just auto, Joe. It's if you watch. I tell people to watch Dr. Death. I only watched season one, but it's talking about the damage caps in certain states. So you have to pay a lot of attention. And we fight this very hard. Pennsylvania, we're pretty lucky. There are no damages caps on things like med mal cases. In Texas, there's a $250,000 limit to medical malpractice cases, so that if you watch Dr. Death, the guy got away with like 38 bad surgeries and killing like 11 or so people because there weren't lawyers litigating those 38 cases to keep people safe. But the local elections that put those caps into place are really the reason why it was so dangerous.
Okay, there's one more.
So 100% agree with everything you're saying about and these are the battles that are won that protect people who haven't even experienced a catastrophic incident yet. But the other one's not that far away. Maryland and Virginia are 1% trip states.
Oh my God. Was an issue in our case with the $55 million verdict.
Oh, because, well, I want to hear more about that, but for the listener.
So in English.
Yeah, in English, right? As I was saying before, if you don't understand what the lawyer says, you can't communicate with them. But if you are injured in the state of Virginia and a jury finds you to be 1% responsible, but say it's an auto accident and you stopped at the stop sign and then you started to go just a little bit and a truck comes through the intersection and T-bones you, and a jury says, well, yeah, but you're 1% responsible. The guy that hit you is 99% responsible. Because you're 1% in Virginia, you get zero.
You can't recover at all.
You get zero.
And that rule came from the local Congress, like the state level.
As opposed to the proportionate share that it should be, like Pennsylvania, because people... like people in this room lobby for that with the Pennsylvania Association of Justice.
Right. And just so the listeners know, in Pennsylvania, what happens is if you're 1% responsible, your award is just reduced by 1%. Right. So you're able to recover 99% of the full award.
Is absolutely incredible.
Seems fair to me.
But that's based on the legislation that's happening in Harrisburg that we're all fighting for, because people need to understand that there's an insurance lobby in every state that's big and bad, and they work tirelessly to make sure that you're right. Rights are limited in any way that they can for years.
And equally, they're lobbying, incredibly to make sure you have to pay. There are certain limits that you need, that you're required if you're a business or an automobile owner or whatever, that you have to get it. But when you go to use it, it's just amazing. And we educate one more thing talk about. So we're starting I think we've talked about this, but we're launching, we do the Legends of Labor Hall of Fame. Okay, and we've done it with the labor leaders, and we made a decision, to expand that into the Legends of Justice. And it's starting off with our injured workers advocacy program. That's what we've done, in labor with our advocates who represent injured workers. Okay, and so it extends to. All attorneys who work off the contingency fee. Let me tell you something else that I love. Your change happens in the courtroom. One of you has mentioned, okay, if there's no consequences, who mentioned just now that there were 11 things? Some
in Texas, okay. They didn't bring any claims. No lawyer is taking a $250,000 medical malpractice case, generally speaking, because the doctors that you would have to pay to put that case on, you know, it's not worth it.
Exactly.
It would cost almost nothing.
Or they're going to just tender the $250. It's cheaper for them to just pay $250 than to go ahead. In that example that I gave, Dr. Death, his employment contract was like $40 million. So they'd rather just pay out the $250 to the person that died because they're protected by that cap than actually take out the doctor and pay off his employment contract.
Yeah, but what that means, right, is that there's someone in Texas who had just horrific things done to them, and they're going to be on life support and need 24-hour nursing care for the rest of their life. So their life care plan just to have a basic human level of, you know, to survive is going to be $25 million easily.
Right.
And their cap, meaning they can never receive a cent more than $250,000. I mean, it's outrageous, but that's the laws in other states.
It should be criminal. It should be criminal.
And what I'm saying is, and I bring this example up as much as I bring up the contingency fee agreement, is my next door neighbor's a contractor. Every morning at 6 o'clock, one of his truck pulls up and they back up and you hear the beep, 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 beep. That's because, I don't know the case, but that's because somebody was badly injured or worse, and an attorney, so change happens in the courtroom.
Right, that was from a trial.
So you're not only representing a client and trying to get them justice, but justice also happens so things like this don't happen to other people.
Yeah.
And that's...
And so when we have cases where someone, again, I have been, you know, brought up and specialize in workplace injury. It's one of the areas I'm most passionate about, and I handle a lot of cases. And we get, you know, the family members of someone who was horribly injured on a construction site. There is a reason why. It's not something went wrong. Something failed. Safety is the most important thing on a work site. And there's safety personnel everywhere, and there's federal minimums through OSHA. I mean, if people have a right to go home at the end of the day, if they get injured so badly, something failed. And more often than not, when we have these initial conversations with the family members, nobody wants the money, right? They want their health back. They want their loved one back. And the question that we get is, how did this happen? Why did it happen? What went wrong? And, you know, what needs to occur to try to fix it?
So it doesn't happen to somebody else.
So that another person, you know, regardless of, you know, what state, whether it be in Pennsylvania, Jersey, or somewhere else across the country, doesn't have to suffer the same consequence, exactly.
Yeah, it's you know, certainly, you know, it, so there's a lot there. And these shows, we've been advocating, and I don't hear any, so they never focus, you know, when you talk about, you know, something as simple as auto insurance, you never hear anybody talk about bodily harm injury. It's always how much you can save, right? 100%. The Rogers rate and all that, right? Well, as far as I know, we're the only people, okay, that you know, and we do it on a lot of shows that advocate on behalf of individuals that don't know why that we're going and we're picking out our auto insurance. But let me say something funny about that. It sounds, you know, I always, when I know we have an attorney on that does exclusive auto, you know, first thing I start off with, I'm like, don't worry about me. I got full coverage.
Right.
But my point is, the first thing he says is, you have full tort, you have this. And I'm like, it's kind of a running because people don't know. We educate people.
Full coverage is legal on the road, the minimum.
Right. That's your the dents on your car.
That gets you nothing.
Okay. But they don't educate you on that. So we do. And we do the contingency fee because I don't know which one of you said earlier during the show, they still ask you the questions on how much does it cost, right? Because they don't know. People are like, no way am I going to be able to afford, the individual on this panel, and they don't realize that, and they also should understand some of these things. And so it's a big deal, and it does get personal. I watch the game. I'll watch the ball game. I'll give you an example. Eagles are playing Pittsburgh. We're up by 3 touchdowns, right? Maybe 4.
Of
I don't
course,
know.
Of every time. Yeah.
What year is that? 1968.
I've been to a couple games recently, and hasn't gone well for the Steelers.
But what I'm saying is,
it's a good thing my partner's not here because he's diehard Birds.
Is he?
Bring him in.
No, but when we get to the commercial, and when you get to the commercial, and it's all about this. My wife, you know, I'm all of a sudden going, oh my God, you know, like I get infuriated, okay, because, you know, they're not talking about anything but the cost, right? And educating somebody on, you know, making sure that, you know, people think it's just how good your lawyer is. I can't tell you, and I know the three of you here, attorneys, would say to me, I can't, you know, how many people have walked in didn't know what limited tort was. I mean, full tort and limited tort was, and they don't.
Even our own parents don't get it. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's terrible.
So listen, we have about a couple and a half minutes. I want to kind of shout out Weinemann, because you work in conjunction. We talk about the contingency fee agreement. Also, when it comes to a lot of these insurance situations, and you're working with, it's a legal medical situation, and I know you are the marketing director, so I'm not coming in with any, with a legal situation, but what I am saying is, there's no out-of-pocket cost there, depending, you know, if it's a contested case or something like that. You work with the client as well, correct?
Correct. There's no cost to the client ever.
And so, which is important, because if we didn't have that network, because I've heard attorneys say on shows, if you, and when compliance, if there's no medical, okay, if you're not going and somebody can't afford and their family doctor won't handle a situation, which is confusing, because my family doctor's been in my almost like.
Yeah, I mean, it happens all the time. It's important to have facilities like Weinerman, because they are sympathetic to your client. They understand the situation. Half of my clients, actually probably in this day and age, more than half of my clients, their family doctors will not even let them come in the door if it has anything to do with a car accident, a work injury, because they say, oh, we don't handle insurance issues. That's literally what they tell people. So it's very important to have, you know, a place like Weinerman's office, where I've actually treated myself when I was in a car accident. They took very good care of me, because it helps your client to get the medical treatment that they need and require, but maybe they're out of work because of the accident and they don't have maybe they lost their job.
Or it's a work injury and they're being contested and the insurance is not paying.
Yeah.
Let's do this. Ben, if you would, contact information for yourself at the firm.
So Ben Baer, I am, again, Injury Law Partners. Our website is cleverly named injurylawpartners.com. My email is bbaer, B-B-A-E-R at injurylawpartners.com.
Awesome.
Ben, thank you so much for coming on. You were fabulous. We were lucky to have you.
Andrea, if you would, contact information.
Sure. Andrea Sasso and Kristen Buttle. We are at Stampone Law at stamponelaw.com.
Any
check us out.
Alexis Crandall, contact information, Weinerman, yourself?
Yeah, Alexis Crandall. My email is acrandall@weinermanpainandwellness.com. And you can contact me directly, 484-356-6666.
Awesome. Shout out to Matt Menark in our producer's room. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Andrea and Kristen show here on WWDB Talk 860. I want to thank Ben Baer.
Thank you guys so much for having
me. Thank you, Ben.
You were fabulous.
It was worth the wait.
So absolutely.
Yes.
thank our sponsor, Weinerman Pain and Wellness, and Alexis Crandall. And of course, we want to thank our hosts, Andrea and Kristen. On behalf of everybody on the panel, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Have a good week.